Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation comes from a few verses from our epistle lesson for today, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4 and 9. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And verse 9, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. This is our text. That word, rest, paints a beautiful picture. Calmness, peacefulness, safety, security. When you hear that word, what vision comes to your mind? What do you think of when you think about being at rest? Probably the ideas that you come up with are as varied as the number of people in the sanctuary this morning. The Greek word that is used, translated as rest in our text for this morning, carries these thoughts: to cause to be quiet, to be still, and I like this one, to desist from striving. Rest, a little R&R, some rest and relaxation. The thought of getting some rest is what keeps us going when it's a long, hard day that we're trudging through. Just the thought of that coming rest that awaits us at the end of a workday, the time when we turn everything off at the office and get into the car and start our journey home. And we know what awaits us there, our family, a good supper where we can relax and be with family. And then that time when all the dishes are washed and put away, the kids are bathed and in bed, and all the chores that were waiting to be done are finally all accomplished, and there's nothing left for us to do but to sit down and get comfortable and rest and relax. That's an important part of our everyday life. Time for us to just sit down and rest and relax. There's a special kind of rest that we look forward to every year, that time of vacation, that time when we set aside to really rest and relax, the time where we can step away from all the hustle and bustle of everyday life and just relax. Unfortunately, when we go on vacation, we usually spend so much time trying to cram everything into our vacation that we need to rest when we get home from our vacations. God knew how important rest would be for his people. Remember, on the seventh day, God himself rested from all of his work of creating. In those two verses we have for our text, there's five verses between verse 4 and verse 9. And we get that image of God resting from all of his labors, and then God establishing a Sabbath day of rest for his people. The people of God need a day of rest. And not just a day of ceasing from the struggles of everyday life. People of God need a Sabbath rest, a time of spiritual rest and refreshment. God knew how so very important that kind of rest would be for his children. Let's go back and think about God's work of creation in Genesis. Genesis tells us that for 6 days, God was at work creating. He labored at that process. That work of creating all things, of bringing all things into existence out of nothing. Well, we might think that, well, he is God and he brought it all into existence just by the expression of his will. He spoke and it happened and it all happened perfectly. Well, that's true. But think about what's going on in that creating process. The wisdom, the intelligence, the planning, all that went behind that work of creating all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens. God created out of nothing the heavens and everything that is in them. The sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, comets, asteroids, galaxies. God brought into existence out of nothing absolutely everything that is out there. And he created it all perfectly. And he created them all in perfect order. I mean, the planets weren't just bouncing around off of each other, trying to figure out where to go or where they were supposed to be or what order there was supposed to be in all of this creation. God created it all perfectly and in perfect order from the moment he brought it all into existence. And he has been keeping it all going in perfection. And then he turned around and he creates the earth. And he created everything in it and on it and under it, visible and invisible, and it was all perfect. Absolutely everything he brought into existence on this earth, every tree and bush and flower, every animal and bird, every atom and cell and electron and proton, the man and the woman, all of creation in all of its parts, down to its smallest, most microscopic parts, is perfect. And after God had checked out everything that he had made, he decreed that it was all very good. It was all absolutely perfect in all of its parts. And so Genesis tells us on the seventh day then, he rested and declared that day to be a Sabbath day for the people of God. A Sabbath day, a holy day, a time for the man and the woman to make sure that they had time to spend with their Creator. God knew that they and us would need that special time to be with him, to find spiritual rest and refreshment, so that we could rest from our labors, physical as well as spiritual labors. In Genesis 1 and 2, we have the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And it ends with the declaration that it is all perfect. But then comes Genesis chapter 3, the fall into sin. And in that act, everything in all of creation changed. Everything for the man and the woman changed. Their fellowship with their Creator was completely broken. The work that he gave them to do was now labor. The peace they enjoyed was now enmity. Now they lived with fear, with loneliness, and hopelessness. Now their life was filled with that endless striving to somehow fill the void, to fix the problem that sin had brought into their world. When you get home today, read Matthew chapter 6 and see how God pictures for you what life is like in this world. That relentless pursuit, the running after things that people will hope that will satisfy them. But the problem is they're trying to fix a spiritual problem with things that don't fix spiritual problems. They think they can accomplish that by collecting and amassing things, and if things are enough, then we need to get more things. But none of it ever satisfies. None of it ever fills the void. None of it fills that emptiness in our hearts. No matter how hard we work at it, we can't find the rest that we're looking for. But there is good news. The good news is God has fixed the problem. Let's go back to the seventh day of creation again and remember, at that seventh day, God rested. Why did he rest? Why could he rest? Well, he tells us he could rest because everything was perfect. He had everything already perfectly planned out. And he said, even before Genesis 1:1, God knew that Genesis 3 was going to happen. And even before Genesis 1:1, he already knew what he was going to do to fix the problem. He already knew his plan would involve sending his son. Jesus would come, and he would do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He would keep the law of God perfectly. Every thought, desire, word, and deed in his entire life was absolutely perfect according to the law of God. He would obey his Father's will. But that only solved half the problem. Jesus would then have to become the scapegoat. God would take all the sins of the world of all time and place them on his Son, the Lamb of God, not to be sent out into the wilderness where those sins would just be never seen again, but the Lamb would then carry all of those sins to the cross. And there he would pay the ransom price to buy us back to fellowship with our Creator. The wages of sin is death. The Lamb of God was sacrificed on the altar of the cross. But that's not the end of the story. 3 days later, he will rise to life again. And that resurrection of Jesus is our guarantee that all of our sins are washed away. They're not just somewhere out there, out of sight and out of mind. They're gone. The blood of the Lamb has cleansed us from our sin, has washed us clean. Those sins are completely gone. God sees them no more, remembers them no more, and we are forgiven, and we are restored. And we are redeemed. And so no longer do we have to struggle under or struggle with the burden of sin. Now we can rest. Because we are forgiven. And we are at peace with God. And that's the good news of great joy. That's why we come here every week, to be reminded, to be reassured, to be refreshed, to be uplifted. All of our sins, they're forgiven. Our redemption is accomplished, and it is secure. We are the children of God now and forever, and heaven is our home. Really, all that's left is for us to celebrate the victory. And again, that's part of what we do here every Sunday. Sunday is to be for us a day of rest and refreshment, a day of spiritual rest and refreshment. It's a day when we can do the SNS, the singing and the sacraments. It's a day when we can PNP, prayer and praise. In fact, there's a whole alphabet of things that we are involved here in our worship every Sunday morning. A, we are involved in adoration. B, blessing. C, confessing. D, devotion. E, exalting. F, fellowshipping. G, giving. H, healing. I, inspiring. And the list could go on and on. You get the idea. I stopped at I because when I got to J, all I could think of was jump for joy. And because we're Lutherans, we don't do much jumping during our worship services. Anyway, the point is this. There's a lot going on here every Sunday morning during this Sabbath day of rest. So I wonder, God encourages us to remember this Sabbath day, to keep it holy, to make sure that we get here to church, to come here and gladly hear the Word of God, to study that Word, to sing His praises, to bring our prayers and petitions to His throne of grace, to receive the sacrament as an assurance of the forgiveness of all of our sins. This is the day that God has set aside for us to reflect on His Word, for us to be reassured of His forgiveness and His love, for us to be strengthened in our faith, a time for us to step out of the world and to find rest and refreshment. But not everyone is here. We look around and we see that there are some empty seats. We can see maybe some members who aren't here this morning who should be. Maybe we know friends and neighbors who don't go anywhere on Sunday morning, and we could invite them to come here too. Whoever it might be, we need to reach out to them. We need to encourage them to be here with us. Sunday morning is just too important for us to stay away. What goes on here every Sunday morning is too important for us to miss. From Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you, that you may have rest and that you may be refreshed. God, enable us to be zealous about our Sabbath day. Amen. Be wise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, until life everlasting. Amen. We join in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed printed in your bulletin.